I don't know if you followed the story earlier in the year of an American nun who was murdered in the Amazon jungle back in about February time. Her name was Dorothy Stang, and she was 73 years old when she was killed. She'd spent the last 23 years of her life living in the Amazon, helping the poor, the indigenous people of the Amazon, trying to protect the rainforest from illegal logging and ranching, and using her time and her gifts for those people and for that part of the world. On the day that she was murdered, a witness who saw the event said that she was working in a settlement deep inside the jungle. Two gunmen approached her, and she pulled out a Bible and began to read it to them. Her killers listened to what she was saying for a moment and took a few steps back and then shot her 6 times. The two gunmen have since been arrested for her murder, but the rancher who ordered her killing, a man called Vital Muro, Miro Mura, is still at large. A 73-year-old woman is killed in cold blood because of the good that she was trying to do. And the man who wanted her dead is free and alive. And who knows, he may yet be caught and brought to justice. But wouldn't it be great if we lived in a world where you could guarantee that? Where you could guarantee that the arrogant, evil man that Vital Miro Mura undoubtedly is would get the justice he deserved. Where courageous Christians like Dorothy Stang would get the justice they deserve. Well, the good news that Malachi has for us this evening as we come to the end of his prophecy is that we do live in such a world. We do live in a world where justice is guaranteed for arrogant evildoers and for courageous committed Christians as well. It doesn't seem like that at the moment. In fact, it isn't like that at the moment. But one day, justice will come and everything will be put right. Everything will be clear. And that is very, very good news. And Malachi tells us here in chapter 4 what that day will be like. He tells us what it'll be like, first of all, for the arrogant evildoer, and then what it'll be like for the Christian. And he ends his prophecy urging us to live in the light of that day, a day of future that is guaranteed. So first of all then, if you look at the outline there, what will this day be like, this day of justice for the arrogant evildoers of this world? And Malachi says it will be a day of burning judgment for them. Chapter 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. It will be a day of burning judgment. It'll be a complete reversal of how things are at the moment. Do you remember we looked at verse 15 of chapter 3 last night? At the moment, it's like this. Now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. People can arrogantly do whatever they like. They can kill, they can murder, they can challenge God in the way that they live. And they escape. They escape justice, they escape the law, and they actually prosper by their actions. And no doubt Vital Miro Mura is making more and more money. Well, one day, says Malachi, they won't. They won't. They won't be blessed, they won't prosper, and they won't escape. They will be set on fire like stubble. And that is a good thing. It is a good thing that evil men get justice. That all the arrogant and evildoers who've ever lived will get justice. What is bad is that it is not just men like them. murderers, exploiters of the weak, suicide bombers, mass murderers. It's not just men like them who are being described in chapter 4, verse 1. If you look there, it's very precise. It says, all the arrogant and every evildoer who will be stubble, who will be set on fire. It is every person who has ever lived in God's world without God as their God, with themselves as their God. It is every person who has arrogantly assumed that that's okay, whose evil deeds are very often very acceptable, almost unnoticeable to you and I, but whose life is a series of challenges, is actually one long challenge to God's claim on them to be their Lord, to be their God. End of verse 1. Not a root or a branch will be left to people like that. Imagine, says Malachi, imagine every person as a tree. All their roots, all their branches, gone. It's a very stark, it's a very succinct way of describing a person's life. Their roots are their foundations, how they've got themselves established in life, what they've built their life on, what nourishes them in life. Their branches, their accomplishments, and the fruit that their lives bear, their productivity. Rootedness and fruitfulness, and all of it coming to nothing in the lives of those who live without God as their God. And if that sounds devastating to you, and it ought to sound devastating to you, whoever you are, then just turn over two pages in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3 to see who it is who will be doing this devastating deforestation. John the Baptist is speaking in Matthew chapter 3, and he says, verse 10, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Who is it who will be doing this judgment, this deforestation? It is Jesus. Which means that Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 is not some obscure extreme view confined to the Old Testament, tucked away there at the very end of the Old Testament in the hope that perhaps no one will notice it. What it says here at the end of Malachi, it says here at the beginning of Matthew. And it's this. If you live your life, if you build your life on anything other than God, other than his son Jesus Christ, then when you meet him on this day that is surely coming, he will be holding a winnowing fork in his hand to clear his threshing floor. And he will burn you up like chaff, like stubble. Malachi is saying this evening that we live in a world where justice is guaranteed. And that is a very good thing. But if you have lived your life as one long challenge to God, then you will not escape. And you will not survive his justice. But that's the first thing, what this day will be like for all the arrogant and every evildoer in this world. But then secondly, Malachi says, what will it be like for those who have put their trust in Christ? He says, for them, it will be very different. For them, it'll be a day of healing, salvation. Come back to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise. with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture, totally different kind of day for those who revere God's name. It'll be a day of joy. It'll be a day of delight, a day of fulfillment, a day of freedom, like calves released from the stall. I don't know if you've ever thought like that about the relationship that you have with God at the moment. You see, at the moment, if you're a Christian, the relationship you have with God is somewhat restrained. It's contained. It's full of unrealized potential. Waiting for something better. At the moment, it's not always obvious why serving God, why living for God is the obvious thing to do, is the best thing to do. At the moment, it sometimes feels very hard to revere God's name, very confusing to live like that, very dark even. One day, Malachi is saying, that darkness will come to an end. One day the sun is going to rise and never set. One day you will be released from the stall. For Christians, for those who revere God's name, he will not be like an incinerating fire. He will be a healing, warming light. Charles Wesley's classic hymn, I mentioned it on our first evening together, the third verse. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. That is, all who revere God's name. Risen with healing in his wings. When Christians meet the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, the day that is surely coming, we will meet him not as the judge, not with a winnowing fork in his hand, but as our Saviour, with healing in his wings. We'll meet him not as the rising sun, but as the risen sun, who offers us his eternal life through his resurrection, who offers us healing, the antidote for death. We'll meet him as the Son of Righteousness, who offers us his righteousness so that we can live with him forever. See, when we see him on that day, when we experience his healing, saving power that at the moment we have a taste of, well, then it will be fantastic. We will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. The sheer delight of meeting Jesus face to face, with nothing to fear, of being restored by him. One evening earlier this year, I was running to catch a tube train to get to our church prayer meeting. It was already in the station, I could see it on the platform, and so I started leaping down the stairs onto the platform, 2, 3, 4 at a time, and I zoomed past this little old lady who was also trying to catch the train, moving steadily and carefully down the stairs. And as I launched past her for the last 5 steps, I thought to myself, ha ha, I'm going to catch the train and you little old lady are not going to catch the train. Because I am a young and vigorous man and I can jump 5 steps and you can't. Terrible what you think of, isn't it? This is on a way to the church prayer meeting, this thought went through my mind. And then I landed on the platform. There was a horrible kind of crunching noise and my left knee completely kind of went from under me, and I pulled up in agony, and this little old lady scuttled past me. And she hopped on the train and the doors closed. Off it went. I didn't catch the train. And for a long time after that, I was doing no leaping at all. And I was very respectful to my elders. On this day, says Malachi, we'll all be leaping. All Christians will be leaping. The day we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I'll be leaping and you'll be leaping. It may be the first time for some of you that you'll have been leaping for a while. Dorothy Stang will be leaping on that day when she meets Jesus face to face. This day, Malachi says, it's surely coming. It's surely coming. And for those who've put their trust in Christ, it'll be a great day. Day of great rejoicing. A day of healing and restoration. It'll be a day to look forward to. Not a day to fear. One day, two very different experiences on that day. And it's so obvious, isn't it, which one we would want to have as our personal experience. The question is, how do we make sure we get what we want on that day? That we meet the Lord Jesus as our healer and restorer and not as our destroyer. And that is precisely how Malachi ends his prophecy in verses 4 to 6. He gives us here two commands, two things for us to do to make sure what kind of day that will be for us. The first is this: remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. Have a look at verse 4. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. Well, one thing I hope that we've got clear looking at Malachi together is the thing that holds this book together. That God's people are failing to love God because they feel that he's failing to love them. That the problem at the heart of the book is a relationship problem. And that relationship is a covenant relationship. They are not keeping their side of the covenant because they feel that God is not keeping his side of the covenant. Well, the law of Moses that Malachi refers to here, the decrees and laws of God given to Moses at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, they are the terms and the conditions of that covenant relationship. So Malachi is saying here to the people, remember the terms and conditions of the covenant. Remember them and keep them. And then you will be all right on that day that is coming. Very helpful advice. Very helpful advice. Until you remember that that is the one thing these people are continually failing to do. I mean, just look across chapter 3, verse 7. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. It's not a great track record, is it? And if you remember, when we looked at those words on the opening evening, we agreed that that's our track record too. We turn away from God's decrees and have not kept them. So thanks for nothing, Malachi, for telling us to remember the law of Moses that we continually forget and we continually break. It's hardly filling us with confidence for this day that is surely coming. Well, let's have a look at Malachi's second command to see if that's any more reassuring. Secondly, he says, receive the ministry of Elijah. Receive the ministry of Elijah. Verses 5 and 6. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord the dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, those of you who are up on your Old Testament history will know that Elijah was actually around way, way before Malachi's day, about 500 years before Malachi. So who is this prophet of Elijah that God is sending at some point in the future before the day of the Lord? We'll turn on again into the New Testament, to Matthew's Gospel again, and to Matthew chapter 11. And we find out who this Elijah is. Jesus is speaking and he says this: I tell you the truth, among those, verse 11 of chapter 11, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. John the Baptist is the Elijah. And what will he do according to Malachi? Come back to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. It sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds very positive. Family reconciliation. John the Baptist opening a family counselling clinic on the banks of the River Jordan. All those broken families in Jerusalem being put together. What's going on here? Why focus on that issue of families right at the end of the book of Malachi? Well, do you remember, we've just said that the underlying problem that Malachi is dealing with throughout his book is the problem of a broken covenant relationship. The people's unfaithfulness in their covenant relationship with God. And you remember back in chapter 2, one of the ways that that was being expressed was in mixed marriages. The Israelite men divorcing their Israelite wives so that they could marry pagan wives who worshipped foreign gods and who brought up their children to worship foreign gods. And that is why families were disintegrating amongst the people of God. That is why the hearts of the fathers were turned against the children, and the hearts of the children against the fathers. They were worshipping different gods. It was an expression, an outworking of covenant unfaithfulness amongst God's people. And John the Baptist, Malachi is saying, is going to end all of that. He's going to overturn covenant unfaithfulness. The question is, how's he going to do that? How is he going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers? Well, turn with me one last time into the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 3, to see how John the Baptist is going to do this. Matthew chapter 3 and then verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Repentance, there it is, repentance. That is how John the Baptist is going to do this. How the fathers and the children will turn back to each other. How they will turn back to God. When they turn away from their unfaithfulness. When they repent. And that is the only way to achieve this sort of reconciliation. It's the only way to avoid the curse that is coming on the land. This day of burning judgment. And actually, that's something that should give us hope, because that is something we can do. That's something we need to do. If remembering the law of Moses makes us worried, makes us concerned, it should. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we can't do that. Then receiving the ministry of Elijah, in other words, repenting of our covenant unfaithfulness, is something that should fill us with hope as God's people. Repentance is the only way to ensure healing on that day, and not judgment. Now, if you've been here all this week and you're here as a Christian, you know all about repentance, because this is something you've done. And therefore you're confident of meeting the Lord Jesus on that day. You're not fearful of meeting him. Here, at the end of a week looking at the book of Malachi, be a great time to thank him for that confidence that you have, knowing that you can meet him face to face, that he has secured that future for you, that he's died to secure that future for you. Be a great time to thank him for that. But if you've sat through these talks this week, been here this week, and you're someone who perhaps wouldn't yet call themselves a Christian, then let me ask you, what do you make of all this? What do you make of the book of Malachi? You may well be reassured to hear that we live in a world where justice is guaranteed, that we live in a world where evil is punished. But it might well be that until this evening, you assumed that you wouldn't be part of that, that that wouldn't include you. Malachi's message to you this evening is very clear. It does. And you need to do something about that. First of all, he's saying you need to remember the law of Moses, which will actually just underline the fact that you can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your way into heaven. And any attempt to do so is doomed to failure. But then, you need to do what the rest of us have done. You need to receive the ministry of Elijah. In other words, you need to repent. You need to turn away from being unfaithful and disobedient. And you need to turn to God, asking for his forgiveness, confident that he will give it. Confident, therefore, that when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ on this day that is surely coming, you will not meet him as your judge with a winnowing fork in his hand. You will meet him as your saviour, with healing in his wings to restore you fully in your life.